We're here at the UFO Congress in Laughlin, Nevada, and we have Patrick Heron all the way from Ireland as our guest. He wrote a book called Nephilim and the Pyramid and the Apophicus. It'll be an interesting show. It's always interesting to talk to Patrick. We'll cover some old ground and some new ground. A little different than Dublin as far as the landscape, huh?
Yeah, over where I come from, there's a lot of grass, there's a lot of trees, and a lot of Polish immigrants now. What we have here is a lot of desert and the Colorado River running through it, I guess.
Yeah, now let's talk a little bit about your DVDs. You have two versions of that, right?
Yes, Grizzly Adams Productions made two versions of the DVD based on two of my books. Apocalypse Soon, which was my first book, and it was a bestseller in Ireland 10 years ago, and just been republished in the United States 2 weeks ago by Anomalous Publishing, which is RaidersNewsUpdate.com, Tom Horn's publishing situation. And that's fantastic. And The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse, which I spoke to you about before last year, Jerry, and which was number one in the prophecy section of Amazon Books for 2 years. One of the top 10 publishers in the States bought the rights off me last year. They got it into the shops just before Christmas. They included all those rude pictures, which weren't on the original Christian version, because I didn't want to offend people. But the present publisher is a secular publisher. They included them. So if you want to see some rude pictures of Nephilim, of fallen angels, with large privy members, they're in the new edition. That's in Barnes & Noble, Borders, etc. Selling quite well. He told me they shipped the first 10,000 copies just before Christmas, and it was selling well, and they were doing a reprint in February. So it's gone very well. Then Grizzly Adams Productions made two DVDs, a Christian version for the Christian market called End Times, How Close Are We? And a secular version for the secular market called Apocalypse and the End Times. And that aired on PAX TV, on dozens of other Christian stations and stuff. We've had fantastic response for it. Grizzly Adams, very professional, very slick, very cool.
Now, you just finished doing a lecture today. How did that go over here with this audience? I know you tailor, you're a very talented guy, and you can talent, you tailor things to meet your audience.
Yes.
But, I mean, just like your secular and your regular religious DVD, they're basically the same, but they're really not.
Well, I've been on most of the radio stations I've been on in the States in the last 2 years, and it's about 130 of them now. Many, many, many of them are paranormal stations, and I get very, very well received by those people. They're really, really good people. Thank God that the United States is still the land of the free and the brave, and there's still freedom of speech, and you can get on there and chat. And it makes a lot of sense, because there's a huge crossover between what I'm talking about and what the UFO people are into. I mean, they're talking about extraterrestrials, they're talking about aliens, they're talking about the Anunnaki who've come from Nibiru or Planet X and who are returning again. And what I'm talking about as well, this is exactly what the Bible talks about, except it doesn't call them aliens or extraterrestrials or Anunnaki. It calls them the fallen angels, and they do come from another place outside our solar system, outside our galaxy, i.e. a place called biblically heaven. And as I said in my presence today, probably the best UFO handbook in the world is probably the Bible. But people just don't realize, because they're not reading between the lines somewhat.
Yeah, you and I have had big discussions about it, and we've done several shows together, as you alluded earlier. And there are a lot of very similar instances and stories and things so you're absolutely right about that. Any what are you working on now?
Well, I'm still starting to promote my book, The Nephilim, and the DVD. I've been on a good few radio stations since. Tom Horn now wants me to start going on radio stations talking about Apocalypse Soon, so I might be looking for another interview for you in a couple of months' time, Jerry. And I'm doing that. But there are a few things...
Well, what do you feel about Apocalypse Soon? Is it coming up?
Oh, I think it is. I think it is. All the major experts in this field are all saying we're there, you know. That, as you know, the main signs when they ask the Messiah what would be the signs of the end, he's... Wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, diseases, immorality, lawlessness, blah, 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 all that stuff. But the main sign is to do with the fact that the Jews are back in Israel. That's the biggie. The loads of prophecies said they'd be scattered all over the world, be persecuted, hated of all nations, scattered abroad, and that happened in 70 AD when Titus sacked Jerusalem to put down an insurrection, scattered the Jews all over the world, hence the wandering Jew. Everywhere they've gone, they've been despised and persecuted and hated, which culminated in the Holocaust and the Second World War. But dozens of other prophecies said in the last days that God would regather his people and establish them in Palestine again, and he would do this as a sign that the rest of the world, that we're in the last throw of the dice. So they're there since 1948. World peace is contingent upon what happens in that neck of the woods. And I mean, switch on the news tonight. What is it? It's the Palestinians, the Hezbollah. It's the Jews fighting. Iran wants to wipe them off the map. You know, it's all happening. The writing is on the wall. But the good news is that there is good news. There's an alternative and a way out for people who want to know. And, of course, that's what I make available in my books.
Now when we talk about the end of the world, you're talking about the world ends completely, right?
Well, it will eventually. The next big thing to happen on the prophetic timetable is what a lot of Christians call the rapture. That's not actually called that in the eschatology. It's called a gathering together of the saints or the church of God. People who believe in the Lord, in the Messiah, are going to be taken. And he's a cool guy. I mean, the thing is, Jerry, you know, I'm a bit different from most of your Christians. As I said to the people in there today, I like my few pints of Guinness and my couple of Irish whiskies,
sure.
You know. And I'll be doing that tonight, please God, because I've done so much talking today. But he's a cool guy. If he was here today, he'd be wearing a t-shirt and a pair of jeans, and he'd be down in the bar. That's why when he was here, they accused him of being a wine bibber and hanging around with sinners, because that's who he hung around, because they're the people who need it to be saved, you know, not the guys with the tall hats and the long frocks on them up in the pulpits every week.
What do you make of all of the sightings? It seems to me there's more sightings, and part of that's communication, the internet. We were talking about that just when we started.
Right.
But what do you make of ETs and UFOs? What's happening here with all that?
What I talked about in the second half of my talk today was what you call the return of the Nephilim. Mm-hmm. These guys are coming back. They are coming back. According to the book of Daniel, it prophesies about a 10-nation confederacy government that's going to run the earth in the coming apocalypse. It talks about 10 toes made up of iron and clay. And the clay part of the 10-nation confederacy is human beings. It's us. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. That's the clay. And the iron is the Nephilim, because it says, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. And it's the 10 toes made of clay and iron is a 10-nation confederacy that's going to rule the world. It's a G10. At the moment, we've G8 at the moment.
Right.
That's the way it's heading. And that's why they're breaking down the borders between Mexico and Canada and the United States. That's why the European Union, the EU, is enlarging all its borders. They're all getting into clubs, and they're all getting grouping into 10 of these geopolitical organizations. And in the coming apocalypse, we're told that the Nephilim, the original fallen angels, we spoke about this before, that were here at flood, are locked up in this subterranean prison called Tartarus. It's called the bottomless pit. It's called the abyss.
And you believe that's literally in the center of the earth.
It's down underneath our feet somewhere, and it says the Messiah, in his risen body, went and preached to these guys when he had got his new spiritual body up from the dead. And that's not preached where he was trying to redeem them. It's caruso, which means he heralded his triumph over them. That would be the same word that was used of a Roman emperor, for instance, coming back and parading his captives and his slaves and his treasures before the citizens of Rome. He heralded his triumph over them, and that's what the Messiah did in his risen body. He said, here I am, boys, I'm up from the dead, you know, I've spoiled all your goose is cooked, and I'll be back, or words to that effect. And also, around the same time that these guys are going to be released in the coming apocalypse, we're told that the other guys, Lucifer and the rest of those fallen angels, the even guys, there's going to be a war in heaven. It says they're getting the boot, and it says they're going to fall to earth like figs falling from a fig tree shaken by a mighty wind. And an interesting thing is that I got an email from a young guy, Australian guy, last summer, who told me that he was in New Zealand and he had this vision, this dream, and he said that he was on a mountain and somebody said, look, and he looked up in the air and he said he saw all these hundreds of floating flying pyramids. And he said some of them are huge, as big as the Great Pyramid. And they came down to earth, and he said, the Nephilim are here. And he believes this was a vision that he'd seen from God, that the Nephilim are going to fall to earth in, quote, pyramid-shaped spaceships, or as it were.
Yes.
Right after I did my talk today, a girl came back out to me. She said, I had that same dream 7 years ago. And she pulled out some pictures right here behind you of these pyramids that she drew when she had it 7 years ago. I've got to meet her later on. I talked to another guy in Texas who told me the exact same thing, that he said three visions of the Nephilim coming to earth in the future in pyramids, and another vision that I saw on a website of pyramids coming down. And perhaps that's why you see a lot of pyramids. I showed some pictures of crop circles here today, incredible crop circles. And about three of them, there was amazing pyramids right in the middle of them. And a lot of people who are seeing UFOs now are saying they're triangular in shape. Right. And I think that these guys are preparing the world for their advent, because they can't just show up here. They'd frighten the living crap out of everybody if they just arrived. So crop circles, UFO sightings, abductions, they're preparing for what's coming down the road.
So when they come back, what would happen to humanity?
Well, the people that are going to be here on the earth at time, most of them are going to be deceived, they said, by these guys, because these are powerful gods. These are going to be full of wisdom, full of knowledge, full of supernatural ability, full of magic tricks. And it says they're going to deceive almost the whole world with their lying signs and wonders, even to the point where you've got this guy called the Antichrist, and that's in the stead of Christ. It's not against him. He's going to approach himself as, I am the Messiah. And the Orthodox Jews are getting ready for their Messiah, because they don't believe that the Messiah was here 2,000 years ago. And also, the interesting thing is that Islam, and the president of Iran speaks about this all the time, says that this Mahdi, our 12th Imam, is coming back, and that he's going to establish Islam all over the world in a series of apocalyptic battles. And that when this guy comes back, he's going to have a lieutenant, a right-hand man, who is Jesus Christ. Which is amazing. So the Islam are expecting their Mahdi, the Jews are expecting their Messiah, and according to the book of Revelation, there's going to be an Antichrist, this guy in the stead of Christ, and he's going to have a right-hand man called the False Prophet. And this guy is going to be powerful. He's going to be able to breathe life into a statue of the beast, of the Antichrist, and make it come alive. So, you know, you can see the world and the politics that's going on over in Israel between the Jews and the Palestinians and the Arabs. It's just wide open for somebody, for one or two guys, to walk in there and say, we're going to have peace in this place. And they'll have to be acceptable to the Islam.
So you're saying this could happen any time?
Well, you know, when the Messiah, when they asked him what would all these signs was, and he gave all this list of things, wars, famines, earthquakes, diseases, weird weather, etc. He said, when you see all these things happening, and especially the Jews back in Israel, he said, it's going to be like a fig tree that shoots forth its figs. He says, lift up your head, your redemption is drawing near. So the writing's on the wall. Now, Jerry, I don't know what's going to happen this year, 5 years, or 25 years, but it's close.
You think of yourself as? Do you think of yourself as a spiritual man, a religious man, a historic man, a guy that studies history? Where do you put yourself in this picture?
I am.
You got a message here.
Yes, I am. I would say I'm a sort of an evangelist type person. I'm Irish. I like me few pints of Guinness and me little drop of Irish whiskey. As I said in there, you know, a little bit drop of Irish whiskey. I don't know if you like whiskey, Jerry, but it goes down your throat like a torchlight procession and lights up the toes in your boots.
Yeah,
it's grand. I
drink some things beside grape Kool-Aid. Go ahead. Yeah, you're right.
So that's what I like, but I'm an evangelist type person. It's my job to sort of win people. I bring them in, and I'm using all this interest in the pyramids, Stonehenge, Easter Island.
Yeah, and we talked in detail about this in one of the shows, in which you literally feel that you have to have some sort of born-again experience, right?
Yeah, absolutely, you do. But, I mean, it's not a bad thing. I mean, a lot of the Christians...
Well, I'm not insinuating it is.
I know, but a lot of people... Yeah. When I switch on the television when I come to the United States, and some of the guys that are on there, I'm thinking, oh, my God, this guy's, you know... My name's Ernst Ainsley, and I'm going to save you by the power.
You do a pretty good job, Patrick.
You know, and I see some of these guys, or else they're trying to get their money off you. Yeah. You know, send us in 20 bucks, right. And you're going. And that really, really makes me want to throw up. You know,
yeah.
I'm not religious at all, but I am spiritual, extremely spiritual. Mm-hmm. It was the religious people that screwed the Messiah when he came. The first guys, they were the ones that were always trying to back him into a corner. They were always trying to trip him up. Who organised his betrayal, his kangaroo court, his torture, and his ultimate murder were the chief priests, the Pharisees, and the doctors of the law. In other words, the religious leaders. So when I see religious people coming, I'm running in the opposite direction. I want to head down and get me pint of Guinness quick.
Yeah.
That keeps me sane.
You have any idea where these Nephilim are or from?
They're from heaven. They're still resident place at the moment.
Okay.
These guys, it says in Revelation...
Is that in another dimension?
Or? Absolutely, outside our galaxy. But they're spirit men. They're spirit. Mm-hmm. You and I are flesh and blood. These guys are spirits, so they're not constrained by the ordinary laws of physics as we are.
But when they come here...
Well, they can zip between here and where they are in the blink of an eye, I guess. It's like, beam me up, Snotty. Or Scotty, excuse me.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. In Michael, the good guy, and his angels, and Lucifer, Satan, and his angels. And it says, they prevailed not, neither is their place found any more in heaven. So they still live in this place. I think heaven is probably a bit like art. At one point you've got... in my father's house are many mansions. You've got Mount Zion, this pyramid city, the New Jerusalem. Sitting there is a fellow called God. On his right hand is the sun, surrounded by 24 thrones with 24 elders on them. We don't know who those guys are, so we won't speculate. But these are probably the guys from Genesis that said, let us make man in our image. And then we have Satan and Lucifer and the rest of the fallen angels. They're still in that place because it says that he appears night and day before the throne of God accusing the brethren. He's saying, look at that Paddy Heron guy down there. 5 pints of Guinness last night and 2 Tullamore Dews. Then he went home and had a row with his wife and kicked the cat. He's a sinner. He's accusing the brethren day and night. But it says in this future war, they're going to get the boot. It says they're going to fall to earth like figs falling from a fig tree, which is a good mind image of them falling to earth. And they're going to appear here, but they're going to present themselves as benign, benevolent gods, beings that are going to save mankind, take mankind to the next level of evolution, and bring peace to humanity, get rid of famines and all that. And that's going to work for the first 3.5 years of the apocalypse. But in the second 3.5 years is when the guacamole hits the fan, and that's when all hell breaks loose, literally, on the earth.
Like what's going to happen?
You're going to, everything you see now with the famines, the earthquakes, diseases, immorality, lawlessness, it's going to be magnified 1,000-fold. You're going to have a huge army, it says, from the east, numbering 200 million, marching westward, and it says they wipe out 1/3 of the population of the world in their march westward. Now, there's only one country in the world at the moment that has a standing army of 200 million.
China.
It says the kings of the east rising. That's them. They're building up more and more power. They've got a lot of money. They're huge air force and stuff like that. They're going to march westward to this valley in northern Israel called the Valley of Megiddo. This is at the end of the 7 years. In the meantime, I think there's going to be, I reckon, about 3 nuclear strikes in there. Well, 2 so far. Then they're going to be met in this Valley of Megiddo by a huge army from the west under the power of this guy called the Antichrist.
So, in other words, you see it hasn't happened yet.
Oh, gosh, no. No, we haven't, and that's the good news. That's why I'm here.
Right.
What I'm saying is, look, the bad news is the Titanic's gone down. The good news is you don't have to get on it. So I'm here to try and get people off it. I mean, supposing it was 1912, and I met you and your family walking down the pier in Cove, which is in Ireland, or Southampton, and I stopped you and I said, Jerry, don't get on that boat, it's going to sink. You said, what do you mean sink, Paddy? That boat can't sink, it's unsinkable. And I said, well, I have the proof, and I pulled out the video of Titanic. I'm sure if I showed it to you, it would frighten the living daylights out of you, but you'd be very glad that you and your family didn't get on it, right? Now, it's the same. That's what I feel like I'm doing with my books. I'm showing that people that, hey, metaphorically speaking, the Titanic's gone down, but you don't have to get on it. There's an escape route, there's a way out, and I'm providing the evidence. I don't have a video, I've got a book of evidence. And once you read the book, it's going to give you enough evidence to where you can say, yeah, I can believe this, or it's a load of rubbish. And even if you don't believe it, you're still going to have a chance in the apocalypse. Well, why would you want to go through that stuff? Because it's going to be very, very bad. When this stuff starts hitting the fan in the apocalypse, it's going to be worse than Cambodia, Vietnam, Rwanda, the First World War, the Second World War, everything rolled into one. That, it's going to make them look like an afternoon tea party compared to what's coming down. So there's a bad time coming.
And but you're still a fairly optimistic fellow.
I'm absolutely optimistic because I'm having a great time, you know, I'm having a ball. You know, all I know is God must have a hell of a sense of humour to allow an Irish man who, like me, do what I'm doing and drink pints of Guinness, and he still forgives me every time I take one or two too many, you know. Well, I'm not an alcoholic, I don't want to be making out I am, but I like me a few pints at the weekend, you know. And I'm having a ball, and I feel we live in very exciting days, but I'm here to warn people, that's what I'm doing.
Okay, Patrick, it's great to meet you in person. We'll be talking on the phone again, I'm sure, from Ireland. We'll be doing more shows. And let's mention the DVDs again. They're available. And also, you need to plug your book.
Okay, well, my DVDs, you'll get them in Barnes & Noble's and Borders and Walmart and all those places by Grizzly Adams. Very, very good show. The first hour, the show is an hour long, which I appear in it. Then there's another hour bonus section, which I get a whole half an hour doing my things on the fallen angels and all that. My book, The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse, it's in Barnes & Noble and Borders and other bookshops now. It's doing very well. You're gassed will be flabbered if you read that book. It'll rattle your cage big time, but it's very, very well. I'm getting great responses to it. And of course, my first book, Apocalypse Soon, has been reprinted, and that's a short and sweet thing. It's very short. You'd read it in one or two evenings, but it's what I call a sawn-off shotgun. But for some reason, people love it. People have contacted me, like said, I read it three times, I read it five times. In fact, I met a young Dublin man and his wife in Italy.
You didn't write this in longhand, did you?
I did. I wrote all three books in longhand.
Oh, wow.
Wrote them all three with a pen and paper. But I met a guy in Italy a couple of years ago, a young Italian guy. And when he met me, he said, did you write a book? And I said, yeah. And he said, what was it called? I said, Apocalypse Soon. He said, are you Robert Heron? I said, no, I'm Patrick Heron, Paddy Heron. He said, I read Apocalypse Soon three times in a row and it saved my life. So that book is available too, you know.
So now I understand why you're optimistic. You get good feedback.
I get absolutely great feedback. And I was talking to a lady earlier after the show, and she said she was in the bathroom, and she said she heard nothing but good things in the bathroom.
Well, good. Well, so, that will close. Thanks very much, Patrick.
Thank you, Jerry. Lovely to meet you in person.
Okay,
God bless
great,
you.
Great. This is our first hour, actually our second hour, but the first hour of this season of the UFO Congress in our series. The series will be running all through March. We'll probably have a show every day at least, and sometimes maybe we'll slip in and it'll be every other day. But we have quite a series that we're recording here at the UFO Congress. It's always a pleasure coming to Laughlin to the UFO Congress. I remember this started in Las Vegas many years ago with Bob Brown and the UFO Congress, and it's grown to probably be the premier UFO convention wherever. And Bob Brown and his lovely wife, Terry, have always been the force behind the success. They've made this really a tremendous, tremendous event. Unfortunately, we have some sad news to pass on tonight. Terry Brown passed away from a lingering illness. It's been haunting her now for a couple of years. And finally, it got the best of her on Sunday night at 11 o'clock in a hospital and their home town there in Colorado. Bob was at her side when she passed. Nikki has been putting the conference together. That's the daughter. And she made the announcement to the crowd. They were all in shock, even though most people knew that Terry was not in good health. At this time, we'd like to pass on our best wishes and sympathy. And we know this is a tough time. But we've all heard the axiom, the show must go on. And Nikki Brown's doing a great job. She's a real trooper. And this is one of the best Congress conventions they've had. And I'm sure it will be for the rest of the week. Bob, we offer our best to you and to Nikki and to the rest of the family and to the group. Actually, the entire UFO Congress is like one big family. Until next time, this is Jerry Pippin. Our on-location producer has been Roberta Scott, and our technical editor has been Jane Swartley. Cheers.